So I know that in the stores in town, the Christmas things are being put away, and they're setting up for Valentine's Day and Easter already. In our house, even most of our Christmas things have been put up in their boxes in the garage. However, in the church, we celebrate Christmastide for just a few more days. We're in the middle of the 12 days of Christmas. It's not finished until Epiphany on January 6th, when we remember that the wise men, the three kings, came and visited Jesus after his birth. We try to remember in this time Jesus' first days with us in this world, both the birth of Jesus and his life that follows is significant for us as Christians. And so we're reading this week from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." This passage of scripture is just right after the shepherds go and meet the baby Jesus. And we see now that the shepherds, the angels, and everybody have all gone their own way now. And Joseph and Mary are the new parents of a baby boy. They now have a baby to try to raise. Those first few nights with a newborn are not the easiest of nights. Dealing with sleep deprivation and learning how to tolerate a screaming baby. I remember after our first was born, feeling a little like we were on the brink of losing it a little bit. And we were thinking, wondering to ourselves, are we really cut out for this parenting thing? Can we do this? I mentioned to Pastor David the other day that I had been kind of half-jokingly bugging Stephanie about having another kid. It's a little soon, she thinks. And David responded and sort of helped pause that discussion for a bit. And he told us that people say that going from 2 to 3 kids is a lot like going from 2 to 10 kids. And we're not ready for that. A comedian, Jim Gaffigan, has 4 kids, I think, and he said that if you want to know what it's like to have 4 kids, just imagine that you're drowning, and then someone hands you a kid. That's what it's like. With 1 kid or 2 or 10, you just want to do the best you can. You want to do the right thing, the best you can, and it's not always easy. We don't have a lot of stories about Jesus when he was young. The Gospel of John and the Gospel of Mark skip directly to adulthood, without any mention of his birth story at all. The Gospel of Matthew has the birth, and then it's straight to adulthood for Jesus. It's only here in the Gospel of Luke that we hear anything at all about his early life. And we see that he's being raised in a home with faithful parents, temple-going parents. And so they take him to the temple to bring him back to the Lord and have him dedicated in the church, as I know many of you have done for yourselves, for your children. Mary and Joseph, being faithful Jews, sought to fulfill this ritual under the law and to bring the child to the temple for this important first time to introduce him to the church. And what happens in this scene with the baby Jesus here at the temple is not one of the more popular Jesus stories. I think it's kind of often passed over, but I think it's important for the church. Mary and Joseph, these new parents, tired and weary, just trying to do the right thing, they come to the temple. They offer their sacrifice, their small sacrifice there, and then they bring the baby forth. And there in the temple, they're met by an old man of Jerusalem named Simeon. And they may have been startled, perhaps, these new parents, when the old man, Simeon, comes up to them beaming, excited, reaching out for their child. But Simeon, he took the baby in his arms and he began praising God. He blesses the baby and then he turns, and while he's at it, he turns and he blesses both Mary and Joseph in that moment. Both Mary and Joseph are blessed. And what could have been an odd or awkward interaction turns into something really special, where the young and the old come together for this beautiful moment, and it turns into what I think is a perfect picture of the church. I read a pastor's reflection on this scripture story, and he said that we live in a world where often young children are overlooked, where younger adults feel overwhelmed, and older adults may not feel as useful as they may have in the past. And it's a world that's out of joint. But this strange scene in the temple brings together a baby, a young couple, and an old man, and it shows us a better pattern for us. And he said, imagine a place where younger adults are not always overwhelmed by the duties of daily life, but go to worship, where they're surprised and transformed by God's loving intentions for them. Imagine a world where older adults find purpose and direction, where they listen for some word to speak to the next generation. And this place is the church. Ann Wimberly says that churches are like soul communities, in which the young and the old are soulmates, bound together as an extended family of God who love and support and sustain one another. Each of us needs this kind of environment, this kind of love and support to strengthen us, to bolster us up and sustain us in this life. We see in this story that even Jesus becomes who he was to be through the grace of God, through a loving, faithful family, and through the blessings and the encouragement of the family of faith. I read an article about feral church children. You know, you've heard of feral cats running around in the wild, but this is with kids, you know, feral church kids running about. And it was all about the importance of kids just being at church. And it described these feral church children as those young people who hang around the church, who lurk around in the youth room, who slink through the halls, goof off in the fellowship hall, or scavenge for food in the church kitchen. All things that may be a little frowned upon in some churches. but are oddly important. It's important for a child to just be at church, to begin to feel at home. In the article, it talked about how at church, kids will begin to form relationships with each other and with older, caring adults. At church, kids won't just learn about God in a book. They'll experience God in relationships, in community. And so it said to parents of children, it said, if you can swing it, find the time to let the kids just be at church. Take time for another cup of coffee. Assist with a worship team or a ministry group. Linger a bit longer before or after service. And while you're taking time to be a member of your church community, know that your kids are hanging out at church and getting something out of it. Growing up, I was certainly one of these feral church children, running all over the church, crawling under the pews and snacking on the leftover communion bread. I really always thought that my brother was the naughty preacher's kid in the family. But looking back, I'm not so sure about that. I got into a pretty good amount of trouble at church. But I also recall that I also learned a whole awful lot growing up with the people of the church teaching me, scolding me at times, loving me mostly. And I learned what God is like, what God's love is like, what it means to be a part of this beautiful thing called the church, just as I know my kids will learn from you. Last night at church, we were able to dedicate our new baby in the church. And I'm grateful that Pastor Kathy has now dedicated both of our kids here at First Christian. I love that moment in the church when a child is dedicated and the pastor turns to the congregation with all the tasks of raising up a child to know and to love God. And the church is asked to help to carry some responsibility in it. That moment when the pastor turns and says, "Will you promise to the best of your ability? If so, say we will." And there are kids in this church who may not be getting dedicated today, but who need your love and your kindness, that need you to be the church for them. And we ourselves may even need the reminder. So if you'll just let me, if you'll humor me for a minute, I want to ask you, church, do you promise to help to raise the kids of this church up to the best of your ability to know and to love God? If so, say we will. It's my firm belief that every parent needs the good fortune of being surrounded by the people of faith, sustained by the church. So many people need the support that the church has to offer. So I ask you, church, do you promise to extend a hand to those families, those people who need the loving community of the church? If so, say we will. It's my belief that every child of God, young and old, even those beyond this church, those out in the community and beyond, deserve to know that they are beloved children of God. There are so many who need to be loved, cared for, as the church does so well, your gift. So I ask you once more, church, do you promise to extend a hand to those who need it, to share with those you come across the generous love of God, to share all the love, all the encouragement, the care, the kindness that you have to offer? If so, say we will.